I want to thank our choir and our musicians for giving us that challenge, and I hope you knew some or maybe all of those songs. I hope you followed the words to those, not just the beautiful music, but the Christ-honoring words of that. Around this time of the year, this Christmas time is very full of both music and a preoccupation. There are some people that there are some young people that are preoccupied hoping for certain gifts, and there are adults that are preoccupied with thinking how they're going to get those gifts, maybe when to go shopping or how to pay for that. But over my lifetime, I'm sure I have received some gifts that people gave great thought towards, and then some that maybe people didn't think at all about, and I'm sure I've given that same way. It's always very meaningful when somebody gives you something that by the very gift you can tell that they put some thought into this. They thought about your needs, your likes, your size, okay? Selecting the right gift can put a person under a lot of pressure about the right color and how to pay for that. But even the very best gift has a short memory. I remember, I think, early junior high being dropped off at the mall, and I had a certain amount of money, and I had family members to purchase for, and the hardest person sometimes to buy for is Dad. And I walked back and forth down the length of that mall and finally found something that I thought, well, I would like to have that. And I purchased that for my father, and for years until it wore out, he carried that with him everywhere he went. Now, it's nice when you get a gift and you realize you nailed it. You could hardly wait to give it to them. You give it to the person, and you can just see by their expression that meant a lot to them. There are other times where maybe because of an office party or something, you're asked to chip in or you have to get a gift. You almost feel obligated. Your heart's really not in it, but you get a gift for someone. A gift exchange can be a lot of fun. But I don't think I have ever given a gift or received a gift that I could call indescribable. They have short memories. In a section of God's Word, mainly dealt with talking about a gift, a financial gift, Paul, at a certain time, just about every church he visited, every group of believers that he could challenge, he, by the way, let them know of the needs of believers in Jerusalem. And he encouraged these people, those folks there are hurting, there are great needs. And if you can collect certain gifts, and the next time I come through, I will collect those gifts, and I will deliver and let them know you gave unto the Lord, and you were mindful of their need. And as he wraps up that section, he throws this in there. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And I'm mindful that as a pastor, something that is inexpressible, then why am I trying to express it? Certain things are indescribable, not that we should never try, but we will never exhaust that. I've never given a gift that way. I don't think I've ever received a gift outside of the life of Jesus Christ. Our choir sang about he had one life to live and one life to give. And all of that should be tied together at Christmas time when we think of Easter. But what made this gift so perfect? Very quickly, I'm going to mention 4 points and then we will be done. The first reason this was an inexpressible, indescribable gift is because it was personal and sacrificial. He gave himself for us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. Or as was read from Isaiah 53 a few minutes ago, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was personal. It was sacrificial. He didn't just come as a great teacher. He laid down his life for us. A second reason this is inexpressible is because it was so undeserved. We would say it was all of grace. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. When we get confused on this, we think that there's something we need to do to earn that. And the whole Santa thing doesn't always help when we think, are you on the naughty list or the nice list? If you're in this list, you get what you deserve. If you're in this list, you should deserve. And maybe you look at a gift and maybe you've been disappointed because you think, I deserve better. But a person who understands their sin and grace says, I don't deserve anything. When I get done at the barber and I get ready to pay, and there's a certain amount he gets ready to give me back, and I say, no, that's yours. And they always look at me and they say, well, thank you. Okay, it may be a dollar or two. Imagine on one occasion I give them an envelope. Well, thank you. No, I insist, open it right now. And they open it up, and it's not a dollar or two. It is the deed to my house. I can't receive that, really. I mean, look, I think you did a nice job. The deed to your house, I can't receive that. You see, part of the problem is we don't understand the enormity and the weight of our own sin when we can say a dollar or two. But we don't realize that God gave his only begotten Son, the enormity of that gift. Most of us could quote Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But do you know the next verse that tells us, and are justified as by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The gift of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And for us to be able to say, well, it's not that big of a deal, then you don't understand the enormity of your sin and the enormity of God's love and grace. I read this old poem here recently. Let me share it with you. Bless Jesus, when thy cross I saw, that mystery to the angelic host, I gaze with grief and rapture too, and all my souls in wonder lost. What strange compassion filled thy breast that brought thee from thy throne on high, the woes that cannot be expressed, to be despised, to groan, to die. Was it for man, rebellious man, sunk by his crimes below the grave, who justly doomed to endless pain, found none to pity or to save? For man thou didst forsake the sky to bleed upon the accursed tree, and didst thou taste of death to buy immortal life and bliss for me? Had I a voice to praise thy name, loud as the trump that wakes the dead, had I the raptured seraph's flame, my debt of love could ne'er be paid. Yet, Lord, a sinner's heart receive. This burdened, contrite heart of mine, thou knowest I've never sought beside to give, nor and let it be forever thine. Why was this such an inexpressible, indescribable, great gift, the greatest gift ever? Because it was personal and sacrificial. Because it was so undeserved. Thirdly, because it had eternal impact. If you know this verse, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. as a 8 or 9 year old, I looked forward to a certain gift, received the gift, and before the night was over, I was probably playing with the box instead of the gift. Or gone back. It wasn't all that commercial. It could not live up to the hype. But this is a gift that is eternal life. It is a gift that we can speak about. We can sing about. I could preach this verse, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, and Pastor Perry turn around and preach the same verse tonight, and it would not get old. We could talk about the birth, the incarnation of Christ, his substitutionary atonement, his glorious resurrection, his soon coming, and it never gets old because of this inexpressible love and mercy of God. And let me tell you the fourth reason why this gift is so inexpressible, indescribable, because it is the gift that keeps on giving. And I've heard that used of jewelry and other. No, it does not keep on giving. But Christ does. Let me explain to you how I say that. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? When I received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, when I turn from my works, my sinfulness, and in repentance and belief, I trust and receive the Lord and his righteousness, that guilt is paid, that debt is paid. Not only do I have life in Christ, but how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He will supply all my need. He will graciously see me all the way to the gates of heaven. That should be a great comfort to me in life and in death. If I don't worship Christ this time of the year and throughout the day, then traditions are not going to help me. If anything, they become burdensome to me. I hope you have some great family traditions that you look forward to. But traditions and cultural things at very best are imperfect in showing us God. I hope you also turn to the Word of God and realize every gift I give, and this is one of the ways I'm praying for myself this year, is any gift that I make or give or receive for that matter, I want it to be an expression. I want it to tell me something about this inexpressible gift. If I have the opportunity to purchase a gift because of the grace and the supply of God, and I give it to you or somebody else, and they say thank you, I want to make sure I'm not just on the receipt. Well, you're welcome. It was nothing. Well, I mean, it was a lot, but it's nothing. But I want to be able to reflect the glory back to the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave Christ. And our giving should be in acknowledgement of that. We are to, according to Ephesians chapter 4, we are to live as in an imitation of Christ, in a reflection of Christ. And how did he give himself? He loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What I give back to God is not my life as a substitute for you or anybody else, but my life is to be a gift. Now, let me go back to a previous illustration. No, I insist, take that deed to my house. Seriously, I want to give it to you. And for some strange reason, the barber does receive my house. And he moves into that house. And later that same day or week, I'm knocking, I'd like to have my house back. I'm confused. Did you give it to me? Oh, absolutely. I mean, was it a gift? No confusion there. And so it's mine. Yes, and I'd like to have it back. Or bring it to your own illustration. You give a gift to your child. And a few days later, I'd like to have that back. actually, I'm really into radio-controlled cars, and I want that. What message would that send? But for us to be able to fear, maybe God's gift is not final. Maybe there's something else I need to do. Maybe God will take that gift of life back from me. You don't understand the greatness of the gift of God. Or maybe on the flip side of that, we think, you know, wait a minute, I know I told you, Lord, I gave my life to you, and all that I am is thine, but I'd like that back. I'd like to move back in. How foolish that would be. Then we don't understand the nature of a gift. God sent his only begotten Son. And when we receive that gift, and as our choir sang repeatedly, and you sang in some of these hymns, we give ourselves to him. It would be a whole other message of all kinds of creative and expected ways, what that means to give our life to him. I think that we should be serving him by serving one another, by telling of the greatness of that gift to one another. I hope that you have or will today receive that gift once and for all. And I hope at the same time you have given your life to him and never expect to say, I need that back, just for a little while. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What an inexpressible, perfect gift. I hope you understand the nature of giving of gifts, receiving gifts. I hope we have a little bit better picture of what it means for God to give his only begotten Son to unworthy people as ourselves. May the Lord forgive me for any time I've ever received a gift and thought, I deserve better than that. We do not deserve the least of his favor. And what a humbling thought that the Creator God sent the perfect and sinless Son to die for the likes of us. May we be humbled today. Not only is Christmas time about praying for peace and joy and accepting the peace that we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, a singing about joy to the earth. How many people confuse those two concepts? But really, what it means to understand our place in the service of the King, receiving the gift and saying, my life is yours. Have you done that? You say, I'm a little confused still what that means. We have a gift that we would like to give you after the service, a little tract called The Bridge, and I'd be glad to walk you through that and tell you what that means or put it in your hand and talk to you later about that. I hope that your faith is in Christ and God's Son resides in you. Would you stand with me as we are dismissed in prayer? Blessed Father, we thank you for each note of each song that lifted our hearts. We're musical creatures. We do like hearing these chords and this harmony, and it's beautiful. On top of that, we thank you for these wonderful words that remind us of the truth of Scripture, that you had a perfect plan and carried it out in perfect time and measure, and purchased us to yourself at the cost of the life and the great suffering of the obedient one, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We thank you that we can accept that gift and be reminded of it in this indescribable gift the rest of our lives, to meditate on it, to declare it, to live in the light of such grace. Help us as we give to one another and as we receive gifts to be in awe of the inexpressible gift. We thank you for your great love towards us, the love that we have among the brethren, your love for the world. And we pray that we might reflect that, however imperfectly, this week and this year. Thank you for all that have come and for life that we have in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Thank you once again for coming and for our musicians, a lot of hours that go behind this, but they see it as a ministry and share with us. And I hope that we are on the receiving end of that. Greet one another with the love of Christ as you leave. Thank you.